This is Shane Warne. Make sure you plough on.
Do Ploughman CC. Plough on, guys. Thank you too much.
We didn't win the league by accident. We did that by design. It was very much planned.
I just try to get it in the right spot, really, and see what happens.
He said to me, mate, I really think you should put your lid on. Next ball, Bolton bouncer. We've been for six. So.
This club is beyond cricket.
Ploughman's cricket is the greatest club in the world.
Hello and welcome to the Thanks for Coming podcast. My name's Hector, and I'm very happy to be back here with the main man himself, Mo Khan. How are you, Mo?
I'm very well, thank you, Hector. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all good, thank you. All good. You know, bit disappointed by the drizzly weather recently, but you know, we move. So, how you been? How's the little one?
The little one's doing good. He's on solids now and keeping us busy. But he's a good one. He's sleeping through the night, so can't complain. And he's letting me play cricket, so that's the most important part at the moment.
That's amazing. You're living the dream, Mo. You're living the dream.
I know. Don't know how long it will last.
So, Mo, we have a very special guest with us today, don't we?
Yes, we do. We have the very special Leo Connolly. Hello, Leo.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for having me. Hello, listeners.
It's great to have you with us, Leo. How's it all going for you?
That's a big question. It's all going very well.
In terms of cricket, let's start with in terms of cricket first, and then we'll come back to the rest of life.
Yeah, it feels like it's been a bit of an up and down season for a lot of us with rain and commitments and cricket all intertwining. But I've, on the whole, I've had a good season so far. Lots of wins. We're going to talk about the Pirates, hopefully, and that thrilling campaign. But yeah, played a lot of league cricket, a couple of friendlies as well. So yeah, it's been a pretty good, well-rounded season so far.
I think I played one game with you this season, and the way you were bowling and how far back you pushed the wicketkeepers back just showed how I think you've improved season on season. Every time I watch you play, I feel like you've just come on one after the other and just looks better and better every time.
Well, thank you, Mo. That's very kind. I would say the same about you.
Well, let's see. But yeah, so thank you so much, Leo. We've got a special guest, and he's going to go take us through some special chat today. What I wanted to kind of open up, and Hector, this is where we kind of come into it, is just the amount of fixtures, and this is where LMS comes into it, as well as on average about 5 to 6 teams on the weekend with LMS going out on a Thursday. You know, the club's done an amazing job in terms of the committee work and trying to get two sets of league teams out, as well as, you know, the number of friendlies, the recruitment, all that sort of stuff. What do you think, Hector? How has Ploughman's changed, and Leo, in your opinion, over like the last two seasons, I would say?
Yeah, so I mean, it's not only great to, like, amazing to see that they're putting out sort of six teams, like plus a, well, 5 or 6 teams plus a seventh if you include Pirates every week, but also the strength of all the teams. We don't ever feel the weak side is not a thing. Every team has gun players in, but yeah, it's still giving every single person a chance to play a game competitively. Even if that's on a Sunday. So, yeah, I think it's great to see. And the club just seems to be going from strength to strength. So, yeah, love to see it.
Yeah. You don't feel like a new ploughman for very long at this club. So, yeah, when I started, 3 seasons ago, we had one Saturday team and then 1 or 2 Sunday friendlies, and that was the cricket. And we started playing a few midweek 2020s that season as well. But to see it to the point now where 6 or 7 teams, I can't imagine without some sort of going through the digital transformation that the club is going through, has obviously played a huge part. And I know there's a lot of people who have been working on that, who we should all be very grateful for, because, you know, the spreadsheets and emailing and all the kind of stuff that used to happen was definitely a headache with the membership of 50 or 60, and now we're well over 100, so I'm sure, you know, we've made some really clever decisions to make everything easier and more effective.
I absolutely agree with Pichero stuff. You know, it's been a revelation, really, for some of for all the people in terms of tracking in the back end of players putting in their availability, not chasing players about, oh, is your availability in? It's been, like, for even for the end user such as myself, just putting in availability on a weekly basis, it's been brilliant, actually. Long it may continue.
Also, Bob Keogh with the savage pay me your subs on a Sunday night. It's, yeah, there's no mucking around there. It's good to see.
I would love to, I'm sure this has been collected somewhere, but I'd love to know how effective his Apple Pay integration has been, or Android Pay, to paying match fees, because it really does make it easier. And those push notifications, they hit you hard when you've had a long day in the field and you're just settling into a nice plate of secondhand sandwiches, and the prompt comes up. It sort of brings it all home to you.
It's like the debt collector on your phone. It's there, like, literally knocking on your door the entire time until you paid it.
Yeah.
The plowman.
So, now moving on. So what have we got coming up today? We've got some last man standing. That's why we have Mr. Leo Connolly. We've got a few match reports as well. And going back to our normal business, fantasy cricket, obsessed with line and length, loves to bat, third man, and any other business.
So, first up, Plowman's Pirates. Leo, you and Max have been, like, steering the ship this season with the Pirates. How have you found it captaining on a completely new form of the game for Plowman's?
Yeah, new format for me. I think for a lot of us, there have been it was a steep learning curve. We were actually really lucky because a number of people have played the format before. Trent reached out and offered some advice, and Drew and Will Curtis, a few others have played LMS in previous years. So, you know, we felt like we went into it with a bit of confidence that it wasn't totally unknown. But yeah, certainly those first few games that we played together, Hector as co-captains and trying to work it all out, you know, which bowlers work, where do you set your fields? Do you even bother setting a field with, you know, three on each side? What's the best, way to deploy your bowlers and your batsmen? But certainly from the first couple of games to, you know, where we are now having, a really successful season, we've definitely developed our tactics and, you know, even the players we pick and what we do with them. For example, Iskander, quality top order batsman in the Red Bull fixtures, has become a bit of a strike bowler, opening the bowling and maybe batting later on. Umar's been bowling really well, even though, again, he's probably more of a sort of a renowned batsman in the longer format. Sean McGurn becoming a wicketkeeper and sort of, you know, just all these different things that we wouldn't have expected going into it that have become quite effective for us.
Have you seen any? Obviously, I played, I don't know, maybe four games or five games. But have you yourself seen anyone who's sort of a standout performer or someone who overperformed to what you might have thought they would?
Yeah, there's a couple of people. I think the one that really stands out to me is Itishan, who joined the club over the winter, came to some winter nets. And I think everyone could see he was a really talented, like, he's a young lad just sort of finding his way playing club cricket, but got stuck into the Pirates right from the start, played the first few games and has really developed his bowling, like, just in terms of consistency, seems to get faster every week, more accurate. Then he managed to hit a 50 batting, which is something he'd never done before, and he was just so chuffed. So we were really, really excited to see a player like that who's just joined the club find their place. And, you know, Itishan's like the first name on the team sheet now when it comes to that.
Also, as like a tail, I mean, not that you really have tail ender batsmen in LMS, but as a tail ender, quotation marks there, I saw him, there was about three balls. If he swings and misses at three balls, and then when he goes, he just goes. I don't know how much his bat weighs, but it goes a very, 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 very long way. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a format that, yeah, can be quite punishing, but I think it can be really rewarding in terms of confidence. And I would be very unsurprised if Hisham continues to take wickets on Sundays, Saturdays, and hit some runs as well, because he's definitely got the potential. Yeah, he'd be one.
It's great to see Hisham doing as well as he has, because I think he started with a plough right at the end of last season, and you could see that he had the pace. He was a little bit wayward with his line and then, so to hear, you know, how well he's come forward since last season, to end of last season to now, that's great for, you know, any budding cricketers who's joining ploughmans, that you put the hard work in, you put the work in, you will get better over time, and the club's there to support all the way through.
Yeah. I've got to give a special mention to CRS as well. Basically made himself available for every fixture, showed up, opened the bowling, never bowled anything other than his metronomic line and length, which is very rare in LMS. And he frustrated a lot of batsmen. And then his batting was even maybe stronger than his bowling. He's hit multiple 50s. It was always, you know, Mr. Dependable for us. And he ended up as the highest ranked player in the whole league we were in, for batting and bowling. So it was the all-rounder of the year. So he was a true
wow,
you know, all-round pro in the format for us. So
star player. It's his average is something like sort of 60 odd after I think he's played in total, what, like 30 LMS games or something. So to average 60 over 30 games, it's quite good. It's getting to Max Gumpert territory, that. So you said that briefly that there's no real there's obviously tactics, but not as a standard cricket player would know them. Is there anything specifically that you could pick out that is completely different from Red Bull cricket or a Saturday?
Yeah, there's a couple of bits. I think everyone loves trying to assess a pitch before a game by looking at it and maybe sniffing it, you know, before the toss. Whereas with the syntho strips that we play on for LMS, you can't really tell until you play on them. But there are three at the DSG that we played on and one at Brockwell, and they all played differently and they all suited different bowlers. And so when we sort of started working out, oh, this one's more skiddy, so you want to actually put pace on and sort of whip it through bowl length and let it kind of, you know, target the stumps. There was one that was very slow and bouncy, and actually that tended the slower bowlers because it was really hard to get them away when they hit the right spot. That was something that, yeah, for my bowling personally, there were a couple of the strips that I found much more conducive than others to bowling faster or slower or wider or straighter. So that was key. And then the other one, really boring, but we were absolutely obsessed with it, and I think it made a difference, was backing up and being engaged. You've only got three fielders on each side. So about halfway through the season, we realised that every player was required to be involved in every ball that was bowled, whether it was covering their fielder on their side or backing up on the other side of the stumps to stop those overthrows. So Max was really hot on that, and a couple of other people like James Barron, for example, really, really energetic in the field, and set the tone on that and helped us sort of stay engaged as a, you know, eight players out there, but every ball counted for all of us. So yeah, that is my key takeaway.
I also think as well, like, from having only played LMS games all season, and I went and played a Sunday friendly, and I hit 12 off 8 balls or something. So from the batting department, it didn't really help me score lots of runs. But when you're in the field, and I mean, it surely can't be a bad thing to, you know, have that mentality, even going into a Saturday or a Sunday, backing up, you know, loud, always on it, all that sort of stuff. So hopefully we see the sort of trickle down from these Thursday nights, what is now Sunday night, Sunday day games, back into the weekend. So yeah,
does it improve your fielding, Hector?
No, I'm still awful. The last game, I think, what, the game before last that I played, I had like three drop catches. So
was that the one that Sai was counting in?
I think everyone was counting. Dooza was brutal with it, but it's fine. It's all good. It's all good. I'm never going to forget it. Anyway, right. So I suppose the next question is, what is next for LMS? But I suppose that should be answered after the match report for last week. So, Leo, do you want to introduce the match report for us as you were down feet on the ground?
Absolutely. So I believe this is the match report from last Thursday, which was the championship game in the Dulwich / Brockwell Park League. So up to this point, we'd come top of the league, winning, I think, 10 games out of 12. Then we played a semi-final the week before. And so this was the final against one of our rival teams, the Brokeback Mountain Boys, played on Bel Air on Thursday night. And I think we'll be hearing from someone who should be in good spirits.
We've conquered all of Surrey. We're never the fucking lot. From Croydon down to Ravenspark. We're never gonna stop. Cause we are Plowman's Pirates. The Plow of Turney Road. We've taken all your trophies. And then we're gonna go.
So, Sean McGurn here with the winning skipper of the day, Max Gumpert. Max, tell us, how did that game go? Talk us through your thoughts before the game. Let's go.
Well, I had a very nervy job interview this morning. So I woke up about 6, got some prep in for that. Had about 10 coffees and about a pack of cigs before I'd even got to the game. Had to have a nap at 2 o'clock to get the heart rate down because I think I was having palpitations. I'm not sure whether it was nerves on the interview or nerves about the game to come. But yeah, got down here early, got a little net in before the rain came. And then I saw the boys, I had to put a little pep talk in the group, mentioned that I'd only ever won one trophy and told them all to bring their fucking A game. And I'm fucking glad they did.
Yeah. Sorry for the swearing.
As long as you don't say it's all good on the pod.
That is all good. That is all good. Let's turn around to one of our best bowlers of the day, Drew Withers. Drew, sorry to put you under fire here.
Not selected to open in the bowling today.
Not selected to open the bowling.
And the guy who loves to scoop him for 6. So I thought first change, second change was about right for him today.
D Withers, a.k.a. Droopy, a.k.a. Peacock.
Yeah, you've put me on the spot. I really hate speaking. No, I don't love speaking, so I'm happy to chat. But yeah, as Max said, started off with a bit of slow. Izzy and Umar really set the tone. There was a couple.
Oh, it's crazy.
It was, and that's what they would have been
expecting. 6 overs for spit, right? 2 yeah. wickets. It was crazy.
That was really good. So, and as I just touched on, it set the tone. George said as well, we were speaking before, it sort of felt at that stage that, you know, when they weren't getting a few away, we were in a pretty good position because we had a lot of bowling to come. So, yeah, really well bowled to those guys up top. And then from there, we just really... Jake, thank you so much for the barbecue. That was unreal.
No,
let's do that every week, just quality.
Come here, Andy.
Oh, I love you. Love you, Jake. Jake, anything to say about the game today?
It was really good.
Not as good as Paul. And back to the studio.
So I genuinely thought that was the best bowling and fielding performance I've been part of this year. Part of the best fielding performance was George Stanley. George, you must have run about 48 miles, I think, today, coming in from Cow to mid-wicket.
Every ball, they were like, oh, yeah, not to that gun arm.
Every ball, not to that gun arm.
Yeah, I was a magnet out there. I was a magnet. But it was because the pressure was on, so they were swinging. And I was out at Cow. They had no other ideas, so they just went... They were swinging.
What about the one where you overran it and it went over your head and then you could have caught it?
That was my fault. I told him to come in 5 yards.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's all me.
I mean, I came in 5 yards, went over my head, it went for 6.
Yeah, he was so sharp in the field, almost as sharp as a Stanley knife, I would say.
Ah, sharp as a Stanley knife. Really good. Really good. Restricted them to 145, chasing 146. The usually reliable openers of Sean McGurn and George Stanley kind of fumbled the bag today a little bit. I think you'll agree.
Yeah. I mean, but it was time for other people to, you know, like pick up the mantle and actually fucking do something, wasn't it?
Yeah. We, George, were your shoulders getting a bit sore carrying this team? Were they?
It's more than average in 100.
Yeah.
I think you could tell from the send-offs that both of you got that they were quite pleased to get you out cheaply.
And Umar stepped up.
Umar, who before the game, I was talking to Max about the batting order, and Max said, do you know what? If there's a day where Umar is going to step up, it'll be when we're under pressure. And boy, did he step up with a 50 today. Umar Iqbal, you're a gun.
And the bowling's gone.
There wasn't much of a choice. Obviously, you two are the regular openers. I told you to pad up. Then I was sort of having a smoke, looking around at who wants to bat three, who looked like they had the fire in their eyes. Umar's already fucking padded and ready to go.
At that point, you can't say, Umar, you're batting at seven, mate.
Take your pads off, son.
Umar was 360 today. He bowled like a gun, fielded like a gun, and batted like a gun.
Big game player.
We got to a point where it seemed pretty comfortable with the bat, and then James Barron and Max Gumpert just played the most perfect innings. So Baz, because it's the best innings I've ever seen you play. I know you've played better innings before, but it's the best one I've ever seen you play. Tell me, pretty boy, what's going on?
Oh, what's going on? Well, Stanley gets an absolute snorter. Cuts one off. Looks like it's going for six. I was like, oh shit, here we go. The fielder's just coming out of nowhere. Full length dive.
Izzy first ball.
Oh, and then it's, well, I mean, yeah.
Izzy first ball. That was suddenly.
Yeah, he got quite nervous actually. I forgot about that. But he wasn't playing sailing. I was playing at a few missing. Balls nibbling around a bit. They were bowling good lines and lengths. Managed to get a few away. But then when Max comes in, it just makes it. It's batting's easy when you bat with Max.
Yeah.
Cools you down. Play the bad ball. Play on its merit. Because we only had to go at
sevens and over.
Yeah, so we run a ball, really. We were just putting the bad ball away, turning
it. It is only five balls in a set in 100, though.
If they want to beat us, they have to put 200 on the board, just saying.
Yeah. Oh!
But the upper were class.
Big Ian Smith, just one word from you to finish the game, finish this pod. How did you think today went?
It was fantastic. The quality of batting and the spirit of the supporters, watching you guys in action.
Oh, the support, the plough, the beer 11.
Shout out Cheer 11.
Beer 11.
It's made my year.
Shout out Cheer 11. Shout out the plough.
Can I just say how good is it to win a trophy, by the way?
Oh, the trophy looks so good currently sat just south of Max's balls.
Also, can I just say, we wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for Canelo.
That's true.
Anyway. We wouldn't.
What a man. Yes. The platform he's put us on.
He came in his best Arsene Wenger coat. He lost a zip at one point, and he managed us excellently from the sidelines.
Yeah.
Ploughman's for breakfast, lunch and dinner. F*** the Pirates. And
see you next year, boys.
See you next year, boys. Bye-bye.
I mean, that was great. Got to see the bowling innings at the start, and unfortunately I had to run away. But, yeah, great day out. Particularly good performances there. I gather someone with the bat might have scored a few.
Yeah, I believe this was mentioned in great detail. Yeah, furious fielding, great bowling all round, and then in the chase, our man Umar dug in and played a really, really strong hand, getting 50 batting at number three. Then James Barron came in, 44 from 23, including shot of the day, a six, inside out, front foot over extra cover, straight into the supporters' bench of awaiting cheer 11. And that really sent us into overdrive. I think we only needed 20 to win at that point. But, yeah, there was chanting after that. It was an absolutely exquisite shot from JB. So, trophy time.
Great. Right, well, next up, Mo, where are we going?
We are going to go to Croydon Lions. And unfortunately, this game was abandoned. However, they did get a performance. They did get some cricket in. So over to Sean for the match report.
Right. Thanks, gents. Sun setting over the Walling rugby, football and cricket ground and swimming pool and what looks like horse racing track, maybe? I'm here with basically, what, seven of the 11 that played here today. We got here nice and early, 11 o'clock this morning. There were 11 of us here. Whoa. Oh, start that again. Right, we won the toss. They forfeited after three of them were here at maybe 12:15, something like that. It'd been raining all morning. We weren't sure if we were going to get a game on. Started at 1:30, reduced overs down to 33 a side. We chose to bowl first, and we did a ruddy good job of it. One of the best bowling and fielding performances I've seen this year from any Plough side. It was a pleasure. Let's kick us off with one of our opening bowlers, Drew Peacock. Drew Withers, talk us through it. Three for.
Yeah, that was good. It was good. I think, yeah, 3 wickets is it. 3 wickets is great. I'm happy with that.
But I didn't bowl no ball.
Woo! For the first time this year. And I'll be out of sleep.
The umpire was blind.
There's clearly some no balls in there. You'll be blind in a second when I put this in your fucking eyes. But no. Opening bowling partnership with Puff and I was really good. I think we got 4 wickets by the end of it for 40-odd or something. So we're in a really good position. I think, yeah, you know, it was quite tricky out there, but the pitch so played.
Puff had the opening bat, LB, Plum, first ball, I heard. But but then he spooned one up to long off second ball.
The cricket gods.
Yeah, the cricket gods. So yeah, it was a pretty good start. Yeah. 4 for through your 14 overs, reduced to 7 each. You guys bowled really well, and a Yorker that cleaned up there, really gun bat with the final ball of your spell was pretty impressive.
Well, apparently that gun bat won the league batting last year, and I heard that from a couple of the guys, but I also heard it from him when we walk off the ground. He goes, oh, you got me out. I actually won the league batting last year. I hit 450s. I hit 100. I averaged 47, all this shit. And I said, mate, I don't give a fuck. I got you. Yeah, go. Anyway.
Yeah, very nice. Thank you. His hair is his head. Greg Willis, you were doing a lot of square leg work today. A lot of sweeping on the boundary before you got an opportunity to come on and bowl. Quick word from the skipper.
Puff was like, as Puff does, I'm going to bowl this line today. It's going to be a leg stump line instead of my normal off stump line. So I need to set a slightly different field. So I need this and I need that and I need... I want someone at deep backward square, which he doesn't normally have. And I was like, okay, good fielder or... And he was like, no, good fielder. So I was like, Greg, get out there.
And it was a bit of a welcome to the ones, wasn't it, Greggy?
A little bit. I don't think I actually fielded a ball off Puff down there. So, bowled better than he set his line for, I suppose.
He did. He bowled very well, actually. Very, very well. Like, 7 overs, 1 for 18. Yeah. Pretty good, considering one of them went for 13.
Very tidy. And then me and Baron came on. I don't know how many overs were left. Not last sort of 10, wasn't it? Or last 7, something like that.
Yeah, last few.
Burgled a couple at the end. Got a little nice caught and bowled, caught on camera. I'll snap that up, put it on the front room. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. Check it out on YouTube. Croydon Lions versus Plowman CC. Don't worry about it, boys. it's really nice, mate. Very good. Very good debut. Very well played. Restricted them to 125 of their 33 overs. Like I said, really good performance. And then myself and young master Logan Cassin went out to open the batting. Logie, just want to give us your thoughts on what you saw.
There's quite a bit of short bowling.
Yeah.
There's a couple short balls that you faced.
Did they both go for 6, Logan, off your batting?
No, I hit a short ball for 6 and then they bowled a full ball and I hit that for 6.
How many runs did you get today?
I think 12, probably. 6 an out, I think, yeah. Backyard cricket in the front yard. Yeah. But you did well.
Oh, yeah, very nice. Maxi then came in when Logie holed out. I batted all right, got 35. Maxi batted really well, really sensibly for his 17. We were absolutely cruising. We were 71. For 2 off of 15 overs, needed, 58 or something, 55 to win the game. My math isn't very good, so sorry, boys. My math isn't very good. We were absolutely cruising, and then the heavens opened. And that was it. We didn't get back out there again. unfortunately, it seems as though match is abandoned. So, we plough on, don't we? We do. Doozer?
Plough on.
Doozer?
I don't think we could have done anything different today. I think everyone put in a fantastic performance. The fielding and the bowling was exceptional.
Fucking robbed.
And yeah.
I know
how England feel in the
afternoon.
You're doing in the World Cup. Part of the beerest of all margins. Yeah. I've never walked off a cricket pitch feeling more like I've won a game than to be told that you haven't won that game of cricket. It was slightly ridiculous. But it was front to back, boys. It was one of the best performances.
4 games to go, including today. We're trying to go up. We're looking for a league title, if it's possible. And asked for a massive performance today. And everyone... every single person delivered. And if we play 3 more games like that, we've got every chance.
That's it. That's a wrap. Back to the studio. Plough on.
Plough on.
Our next fixture saw the Ploughman second 11 away to the Surrey Warriors Invincibles down at Beverley Park in New Malden. And we have a match report from that game, which we will hear now.
Pretty disappointing day for the twos all round. Having won the toss on an interesting wicket, Spence decided to bat first. I don't think any of us in the top 6 did ourselves much justice. Elmer hung around quite grittily, as did Hussein, forming a small partnership, but... not a very good day in the office, with the bat being bowled out for 64, which isn't going to win many games of cricket. Special mention to the bowling unit, who put a pretty decent stint in. Rohan bowling really well up front, with Lewis as well, who was bowling well. Lewis got us a wicket early. Spence brought himself on, bowled brilliantly, to be honest. Best I've seen him bowl in a while. Taking 3 for. Special mention to Elmo for a fantastic catch at point. And then John came on with not many runs needed, but produced chances and mistakes from the oppo. Not much else to say, but like, if we don't make less than 140, we're not going to win many games of cricket. Despite the wicket being poor, we should have batted a bit better. Anyway, on to next week. Thanks very much.
The next match report is a Sunday friendly against Trinity Midwitgiftians, which is a big old name to say. So over to the plough.
Right, it's Wednesday night, and my memory of the events of Sunday is a little bit hazy, but I'm going to give it my best go. 11 of us went over to Sandstead for a game against Trinity Midwitgiftians, a team that had quite comfortably beaten us in last year's fixture. So yeah, we were all up for it and ready to go. A few of us met at West Croydon and got on the party bus over to Sandstead. Beautiful sunny day. Leon Parks went out to do the toss with the opposition skipper. Lost it, I believe, and we were put into field. Really good opening spell from Wilby and Dan Rumford. Kept the scores quite low. Dan took a really good wicket early doors. We sort of had them on the ropes. I mean, 15 overs, 35 runs for a few wickets down. James Barron came in to bowled really well. 4 overs for 18 runs. One absolutely unbelievable caught and bowled. The ball got fizzed back at him. One of the batsmen that hit 100 last year was on about 35, looking really good. Fired one back at James Barron's head, to which he pulled out some sort of Neo from Matrix move. Ducked, moved, dipped his head, managed to put a hand up and took a one-handed screamer. He bowled really tightly with Vicky for a few overs. Vicky bowled his first maiden for the club. Well done, Vicky. Then came in the spin twins, Tom Glyn-Jones and Ellie. Both bowled really well against a couple of set batters.
Lewis will be an injured one of their batsmen in the first over of the game. Actually hit him in the box. That batsman had to go off. Weren't sure if he was going to come back. He did come back towards the end and absolutely smoked the ball around for about the last five or six overs. Tom Glyn Jones's figures would have been far better had that batsman just stayed back in the clubhouse. They set a target 195. We thought it was probably 30 or 40 shy of what would have been a tricky score to chase, and we were quite confident going into our innings. I opened up with Suri. Suri batted really nice. His 2,000 runs. Congratulations, Suri. It was quite funny, actually, when we went up and Suri had hit 18 and that had taken him over his 2,000. The opposition skipper came over and congratulated him on his top ever score, to which obviously we all had a little laugh and told him that no, actually it was 2,000 runs for the club, to which the opposition gave him a decent round of applause as well. The whole game was actually played in really, really nice spirits. Suri then went off with a bad back. When he was on about 20, brought Hussain Selmi to the crease. Hussain batted doggedly, but fell to a really good in-swinging Yorker. Leon and I put on a decent partnership for a little while. Took us to drinks. We looked pretty good at drinks. We needed sort of a run of ball from drinks onwards. I fell shortly after drinks, bringing Suri back, who just smashed the ball about for about seven or eight overs, got himself to 65 in no time at all, batted really, really well. Leon then became the third injury of the day, smashed one into his calf and unfortunately was run out about halfway down the track, leaving Rahul, James and Lewis Wilby eventually to try and finish off the innings. We unfortunately fell about four runs short. The run rate just sort of got away from us a little bit. We needed 17 off the last over. Really tried our hardest. Rahul batted really well for his 14. James finished on 14, not out, and Lewis on 5. But all in all, it was a really good game, a really tight game against a good young side from Trinity Midwick Giftians. Lovely venue, lovely setting, really nice pitch. The outfield was amazing, we had a few light refreshments in the bar afterwards to the opposition. I'm not sure that most of them were actually old enough to drink, but. But yeah, it was all in all a really nice day, really good game of cricket, well fought from both sides. Unfortunately, the plough just came off on the wrong side on Sunday. But already looking forward to next year's fixture, and we continue, we plough on.
Our next game on a Sunday is against Wishwa CC at home.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the Plough. I'm here at a sunny DST after a tough loss for the boys against Fishner's Cricket Club. I've got Carl here, debutant Sam, and then hero run getter Max as well. Carl, talk us through the opening spells today.
So it was a bit tricky for us. I feel the wicket was a little bit variable, but didn't really do as much as we had hoped. Damo and I opened up and were quite tight. But I have to say that bowling was a bit loose from the team in general. I think, the other team stopped counting, but I'm pretty sure that we got a half century of extras today. I did, however, get my maiden threefer, so
congratulations,
I'm very, very
buddy.
Proud of that, and my maiden run out as well. So it was a good day out for me, particular.
And I'm looking forward to a jug we're going to have with you in a minute.
Oh, absolutely! I think two jugs are in order. I think.
And then Davidson Sam is filling in last minute. I think he came in on yesterday or Friday. One of Damon's mates. You want to explain how you know Damon?
I don't personally, really, but my mum knows his wife from years back.
Perfect. And tell us about your bowling performance today.
I thought I bowled all right. The last couple overs, first ones were a bit, iffy, but you know.
Bit of off spin, and it was great to see you get your first wicket as well.
Yeah, it's nice.
So yeah, we ended up conceding, I think, 271 for all out off their 34.3 overs, I think it was, and it was always going to be a tough chase. But Max, talk us through our batting innings.
Yeah, well, Hansy and Brito got us off to a great start, both of them hitting the ball well. Hansy hit one of the best cover drives I've seen all season, smacked it through, unfortunately succumbed by chipping it to gully, and George came in, Chris came in, and sort of kept up pretty good momentum, but we still at drinks, I think, needed 10 and over, so it was a bit of a pressure chase for the last 10, and Brito got a brilliant, I think, 70 or 69, so it really did, like, gave us a good platform up top, and then yeah, I got a couple of runs.
Only a couple, Max. So talk us through some of these shots.
Well, I mean, it came on, so they were bowling on a track that wasn't really spinning much, so bowling slow bowling, and as they would hit, I think, 3 fours in the first over I faced, so I was pretty lucky on that front that got the sort of iron early, and then it became clearer towards the end that I was A, near 50, and B, we weren't going to win. But then I think I was on, 46, I think.
You were on 47.
For 18 balls.
And then Brito and Hansy started celebrating. Somehow Stephen Brito heard that I had said that you were on 48 and then you scored two singles. So I never uttered those things, just to.
But I celebrate. That's all the those who are subscribed to the Plough on group chat, seeing that my celebration videos. That was actually on 48, which I didn't find out until I said to George, who was umpiring, "Oh, I'll scoop the next ball. Fuck it, I've got 50," and scooped it over first slip for 4. And then Carl said, "You've got 50." So I'd have been pretty upset if I'd got out in that for that scoop.
So are we.
I must say it was a beautiful scoop shot. One of the better ones I've seen. I was very impressed. And am I right in saying that's your maiden ever 50?
First ever 50, yeah. I got my first ever 45, first game of the season, my highest to date. So it was nice to beat that today. Obviously, a shame in a losing cause. And then getting out to the 13-year-old, getting stumped off the penultimate ball of the inning. So I didn't even get my red ink to celebrate at the end.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. Rumour has it was actually 7. So it's going to get younger as the night goes on.
Yeah, I think
so.
Looking
forward to me.
I think he's doing his SATs rather than GCSE. He's putting it that way.
But anyway, we'll close off there. Been a great day out with some great lads. Shame about the result, but we'll enjoy a couple of jugs now.
Plough on.
Our final fixture of the weekend, club hero Drew Withers took a Sunday friendly team to Royal Ascot CC, and we will hear how that game went. Now.
Hello. This is your boy Rick Sanchez, aka Geordie Diddy Engender, aka The Agendas, here at Royal Ascot Cricket Club, where we just come from a resounding victory at the death. Yeah, it was a good day out for the Plough, I must say. Drew lost the toss and we got put into field, which actually, in hindsight, actually a very good idea, actually. It was me and Itisham to open the bowling. Took 3 wickets in, what was it, 10 overs? Yeah, 10 overs, yeah, 3 wickets. Yeah, 3 wickets in 12 overs, which was really good. The Plough were pushing on. But it's not really about me, actually. It's about Simon Carson, actually, at the end of the day. Simon Carson got 3 wickets there. So, Carson, can you talk to us about your... talk to us about the game today, mate. Go on.
It was all right. It was a good game. We took a few quick wickets. Then they dug in. They had a couple of batsmen that stuck around for a long time. Changed the game, really. It did look like we were going to roll them for a very low score at one point. And credit to them, you know, they got close to 200 runs on the board, made a game of it, and obviously we were up for it with our batting.
You was on for a 4-for as well. I thought he was going to repeat your performance that you had here last year again today.
That would have been good, but the batsman just didn't play ball.
Yeah. That's actually true, to be fair. And then I think they scored 194. And then the target was 195, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we opened with George Boughton and Andrew Cosgrove. They put on some decent runs there. But the real legends of the batting innings is George Stanley. Talk to us about your batting innings, mate.
So I can't exactly remember when I came in, but we must have been not 20 on the board or something.
A few more
30. Yeah. Okay, sorry. I can't remember exactly. maybe 40, I can't remember. And then it was a matter of, you know, just get yourself in. I actually got off to a fine start, but then George got a good ball. He was gone to probably their best bowler.
Yeah, that lefty was really, that righty was really good.
He was, yeah, he was a good bowler.
Good bowler.
And then, so then it was me and Joe to kind of rebuild for a while. And we just sort of, that's all we really did, but I don't think we really overthought it. We weren't scoring. The rate was fine, I think, and then we just paced the innings.
Which was good.
Took it deep.
That was very good, no? What did you get in the end? 78?
78, I think, yeah.
Is that your Plough High score?
That is my Plough High score, yeah.
Congratulations. And then I'm going to pull Joe Hawkins over here. He also got a Plough High score of 77. Talk to us about 70, your innings.
72.
72, oh, sorry, 72. Go on, talk to us about your innings there, mate.
So, you know, when the openers do their job and see the shine off the new ball, you know, and you go in and it's not really moving that much, despite being told that it is, it's a lot easier to score some runs, you know. Like George said, when I went in, had to rebuild because we were two for not many. And sorry, George. George, I will say that George did manage to hit a four whilst his parents were here, and then they left before he got out. So that was a highlight of the day. Yeah.
The ball, as soon as the ball hit the boundary rope, they packed their chairs up. And up.
George, actually, you know what? Since you're the man of the pod at the moment, go on, talk to us about your opening spell. Go on.
About my four?
Yeah, please, talk to us about your four. What was you thinking there when you hit the four?
Came into bat, first time for the Pals. I was a little nervous because I actually had my parents watching. So I promised them I'd hit a boundary before they had to leave. And, one side outside my off stump. I actually managed to hit that one.
I did tell you as well.
The boundary.
I did tell you as well that what the guy was doing as well. I was trying to tell you when I was on umpire.
Yeah, and I listened and he bowled it there and I hit it for four. It's fantastic. It's great when it works.
You didn't even try to talk about them when he got bowled. But yeah, it was a resounding victory in the end.
Yep. All in all, very measured performance. A great bunch of guys. Everyone helped out, did their bit. So thank you very much. And back to the studio.
Yeah, back to the studio indeed, guys. Thank you. Is this the real life? Is this
just fantasy? Cricket. Our next section on the Thanks for Coming podcast is fantasy cricket. It's lovely to hear Yanni once again. This is an ongoing competition, as you all know, although often there are only three or four people really in contention. However, maybe things have changed this week. Hector, who has performed well in our fantasy cricket this weekend?
Well, we can look at the table. So the batter half, Jessica Earle, still smashing it on 15,015 points in third place. In second place, you've got Matt Spencer, Club Sec 11. I mean, you know, there might be some, it must be like raging in that household every week when it comes to team selection. And then on top, Leon Parks, 900 in the lead. He's on 16,123 with the umpire strikes back. It's good to see.
3 weeks to go in the season at the time of recording. 900-point lead. Unassailable. What do you think?
I don't know. If Leon forgets to put his team in every week, then...
I don't think Leon's going to stop. I think this close to the season, he's just going to go to a few more weeks and I think he's got it.
I think the real inquest will start with T-bangers, G-bangers, jugs all round. Can't remember what they're called this year. Trent, off the pace. Questions have got to be asked. What happened, mate?
Well, he's lots of distracting things going on. What was I going to say? Just looking at best scoring teams of the week. I mean, ignore the next section that Mo put in the.
No. We can't ignore the next section. We usually go through the section, Hector. What is the next section?
Who needs to work harder? But I think we all know.
Who we got this week?
It might be the same as most other weeks. it's me. I'm on the lowest points out of anyone who has entered into fantasy club cricket, and I also got the lowest points of the week. So it's really good. I had a total of 8 players in my fantasy team scoring 0. So there we go. That's what happens when you keep on top of it. So yeah, good crack. Yeah, let's move on from that. That's fine. Next year, there's always next year, right? Highest individual point scorer for the week. Two Eyes, Cakey, Two Eye Brisket, Cake with 1,128 points of the week. So, top scoring individual players, Mo, who do we have?
We've got, for the batters, we've got George Stanley with 138 points. He's a great grab at 1.1 million, so whenever he's on the team sheet, put him in. For bowling, as always, Drew Withers comes out with 110 points with his consistent performance with the ball, both across both days on the weekend. All-rounder-wise, we've got James Barron, 166 points with his bowling this week. Amazing figures on Sunday of 18 runs and 4 wickets. And keeper-wise, Suri always taking the top spot at the moment. And we're going to go through a few other milestones for Suri as well. So, yeah, those are the ones for this week. Leo, any suggestions for the week coming ahead?
Well, there's one man who has been away for most of the summer, but to anyone who's been around knows what a high-quality performer he is. Tom Lonan, I'm told, is back in the mix this weekend and maybe for the next few weeks as well. So if you're looking for a wildcard entry to your fantasy team, maybe to pick up those 900-point deficit, he could well be your miracle, your unicorn. Incredible servant to the club, batsman, bowler, fielder, captain. He's got to be worth a few points on some late September weekends.
That's a good shout. Also, he'll never live it down if he rocks up, scores a duck, and then heads back off for work. So I'm expecting fireworks myself.
Do you reckon he's going to give himself a red card?
I mean, probably he should, but I don't know. And also, shout out to my ex-podcast host, Tom Lonan here. It's, you know, good egg. Mo, any other suggestions for this week?
I would suggest there's a couple of old players who have come back to the club. So Nick Dowell, I've heard great things about him from older Plough members, as well as Sandeep Goel. You know, he's recently joined the club. You know, first couple of performances, he's taken wickets, bowls really well. Again, a lovely guy as well from what I've heard, so I'll have the pleasure of meeting him this weekend. So those are two people, those are my two picks for this weekend. Heck, do you have any suggestions?
Well, you know, Umar, Azrul Haq, I mean, Max Gumpert. I mean, I always go very boring here, but, you know, players that have just been consistently performing for a long time now. And as you can tell with my exquisite team selection on fantasy, you should definitely listen to every word that I say because I obviously know what I'm doing. And on that note, let's move on to Obsessed with Line and Length. So as a couple of performances in here this week, Mo, one outstanding performance.
So I'm going to go with the Spinners Union here. So I'm going to go with Nigel with 8 overs, 3 maidens, 24 off 2 for his amazing bowling figures this weekend. Over Hector, yeah, what really about good. You?
One thing I will say, Carl, it's lovely to see Carl bowling well. Big ocean, big sea. The legend that is, 6 overs, 3 for 30. Yeah, just good stuff. He's got great action, bowls really well, it's getting better. So, yeah, good line length. Love to see it.
His progression has been amazing to see over the season. Again, one of those players who's put his hand up and has done amazingly for the club week on, week in. And it gets better every time we watch him play.
Super consistent. Nets, LMS, cricket. Carl has given his all to the club this year, and I hope he's feels like he's reaping the rewards of that with his success. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's daddy runs and daddy wickets now for
when,
Carl.
When are yours coming, Mo?
Don't know. I'm still waiting.
Sorry, I got faith. You got plenty of time.
I know. Age is on my side.
So, Mo, who's your vote then for obsessive line length?
I have to go with, for me, it has to be Nigel. You know, I do feel for the guy. He rocks up every week, 8 overs, chucks the ball in. Sometimes he gets wickets, a lot of times he doesn't, but he bowls amazingly well throughout the innings. I think for me, it's got to be him. He's bowled 3 maidens, 24 off 2. And, you know, dropped Niraj's hat-trick at the start of the season, but let's not go there. But, yeah, Nigel for me.
You're never going to let him forget that.
I don't think he's ever going to forget that.
Next up, loves to bat. Leo Connolly, any exciting batting this week?
Oh, there's been a hell of a lot of exciting batting this week. I'm going to have to give a shout out to Max Wright, his first 50. 60 off 49 with 9 fours, a strike rate of 122, and an on-film documented reverse sweep lap, Joe Root-esque shot, I believe, to go to 50. Might be the single greatest batting achievement of the season. I know he's chuffed, he's been working really hard, and again, another guy who's super consistent, always shows up. So to see him hit that 60 really, really brought a smile to all of our faces, I'm sure.
So Leo, just before you move on, the funniest story about that. So I heard this on Tuesday. Brito, apparently on the sidelines, shouted 50 when Max was on 48. So that when actually Max hit that shot, he thought he'd already reached his 50. Just as a clarification.
If he'd got out playing that shot, that would have been, I realised it was 48.
I'm glad it worked out, though, the way it did.
That's outrageous. A couple more. George Stanley and Joe Hockings at Ascot put on a partnership of 172 to take their team from 24 for 2 to 196 and win the game. They finished 78 and 72 not out. So as a pair, I think it's safe to say that they loved to bat together this weekend.
That's incredible.
Really, really impressive. However, I think the one that we're going to potentially give it to, our man Dr. Murch, this weekend had a 22-ball 4 and a 25-ball 6. So for double heading and to score 10 runs off 50 balls is some serious commitment to low strike rate and digging in. And I'm sure some very tough batting conditions. So well done, Dr. Murch. I'm proud of you for those.
He played in the twos game, and apparently when he went out, he was told that, oh, it's nice and flat. And apparently he was spitting cobras and bouncing on and doing fireworks off the pitch. So the fact that he hung in there, I think he ended up injuring himself either on Saturday or Sunday. But the fact that he hung in there, especially for a low scoring for the seconds on the Saturday, was amazing just to survive in that setting.
And it is difficult when you're under the cosh and you're not scoring and you're just there trying to just survive that. Yeah, it's difficult. So well played, Murchie boy. Good stuff. Love to see it. Third man, Mo Khan. What were we saying about third man this week?
Third man, we've got a few. So first one, we will have Carl Weiberg. Again, quality bowling figures. He took a catch at slip and the run out. It's not just his bowling and batting that's improved. He's improved all round. Another shout out from the ones was Logan Casson, fielding all day in the covers. You know, it apparently went to the point where the oppo stopped running once after he got a run out himself. So, again, two amazing, amazing players for the club. I'm gonna open it up to Leo, our guest. Guest, who would you like to give the award to?
Well, I don't know if it was mentioned on last week, but Carl is becoming a bit of a clutch third man slash fielder. He took the winning catch in our last man stands league deciding match a couple of weeks ago down at Deep Square. So in honour of that memorable moment and his performance this week, I'm going to give the Vibes Lord, Carl, his third man award this week, and Logan's going to just have to try harder. Any other business?
Right, any other business? So we've got a couple of A couple of big things this week. Surrey with his 2,000th run for the club. That is big stuff from the big man himself, Surrey Pullaboyne. Good to see.
We have another one in Spencer, bowling and leading the twos from the front. Doing amazingly well, but Spencer also put a shout out to the whole bowling unit, who's put in an excellent shift. And again, an amazing, amazing match report from Leo as well on the on Pichero. So if you have the chance to go over and read it, have a read. But it sounded like
This is a perfect segue into a little treat I actually asked Leo to do for us. Leo Nibbler, that is. His match report was so good this week that I thought it might be quite nice for you to be clutched in the arms of the Nibbler. Imagine you're by a roaring fire in a smoking jacket, and here's Leo with an excerpt from his match report this week.
Greetings, Plough. This is Leo Nibor here, a.k.a. Nibbler, a.k.a. Neo Libor, a.k.a. the second best Leo at the Plough. I've been asked by Hector today to provide you with an excerpt from my report from our agonising and rather comprehensive defeat at the hands of Surrey Invincibles at New Malden on Saturday. So that's exactly what I'm going to do for you. I've actually booked out a 12-person meeting room for this, which feels wholly unnecessary. Anyway, this is the excerpt that I decided to go with. Damon Greeny was walking out to bat, a horribly jarring sight. The score read 54-9. In the 20 minutes Harry Edmonds and I had been away grabbing coffees, Plough had wallowed and drowned in a riptide of their own making, shooting themselves in not just the foot, but every orifice. An eerie silence hovered over the group, punctuated every now and again by Geordie. Why, oh why, Plough, do we do this to ourselves? Masochists, aren't we? All of us are just one step away from taking a paddle to the arse. Some of us are already there.
Thanks, Leo, for that amazing match report. As always, you can, you know, keep me entertained for as long as you like, and it's always entertaining to read too. So the other standout performances we had was Brito with another 50 for the club. He just keeps churning them out, and it's great to see him back in the runs. Max with his maiden 50 for the club. Again, as Leo had said earlier, he's been working hard as nails in the nets. You know, every time he hits the big boundaries and big fours and sixes, he gets so excited, so it's great to see how he's progressed as well. And one person is the chairman. You know, he puts in a shift every week. I see his bowling figures every week, and I think every single time I'm just like, this guy just keeps churning out the numbers and bowling figures week in, week out. And Sai's been doing that with his head down, representing the club, so it's great to see that.
Yeah, it's good to see. And also, big shout out to Sai Carson as well. He got hit in the noggin, has come back and has just been performing. And he's been performing all season, to be fair. He's been bowling well. He's still a couple of runs short of that big, momentous batting milestone. How many runs was it?
3 runs. Please get him up the order. We should start a campaign.
Just open him a day. Open him for a day. You know, it's fine.
I know. Just open him for the next game. Let him get his 3 runs. Retire him, and that's it.
So, and then you can get to 2,000 by the end of next season. and then we got we do have a little bit of correspondence this week. Which is really nice. So I'm going to quickly read this out for you. So, dear, thanks for coming. I wanted to get your professional opinion in something that came up at a fixture on the weekend, and it's around umpiring. In the game on the weekend, in both teams' batting innings, after a huge appeal for LBW, both bowling teams thought the umpire had given it out. This was due to the fact that the umpire making the decision at the time moved their hands to indicate which way the ball was going, instead of saying not out and getting on with the game. I'd like to understand the best way forward for all cricket lovers when umpiring our own games. If the bowler asks why, you should explain height or pitched out the line, etc. Too often, I've noticed arms moving and times can often think that they're being given out. I want to make it clear I'm not complaining about the appeal, more just trying to understand the best course of action. Thanks, your boy, T-Rex. Well, as someone who very rarely umpires, because I'm absolutely rancidly bad at umpiring, boys, what's your opinion on that?
So I think with these sorts of decisions, you should shout not out, shake your head, just make it clear to the bowler, to the batter, that it's a not out. And then if they ask the question why, then answer it. Otherwise, I wouldn't bother answering the question. I've had plenty of appeals, and when they've said why, it's at that point I give the answer as to why. But keep those interactions very, very separate. That if it's a not out, it's a not out to start with. If they've appealed, and afterwards give the explanation if and only when asked, which they will because they're just annoyed at you at that point. But yeah,
concise. Leo, what are your thoughts?
We could not be more aligned on this matter. Umpiring is very tricky. Do not make it harder for yourself by getting your hands, which are supposed to be used for signalling, involved in some, you know, soft down leg, too high, not sure nonsense. Keep them behind you, keep them in your pockets. And
keep them
out
in your pants if you want to, but...
Or a nice firm shake of the head to say, no, that's not out. And actually, similarly, if it is out, I think a nice nod before the finger goes up is a very nice mover. There's a lovely umpire called Eric who sometimes umpires our games, who will put a big nod in before his finger slowly goes up for an appeal. So nice touch, but keep your hands out of it if it's...
I feel like Dickie Bird used to do like a little nod, and a lot of other umpires do a little nod before they put their fingers up.
Yeah, it's that like self-confirming, I've made my decision, I know what's coming, and you're all ready for it as well. Adds to the suspense. But in the case of not out, absolutely, hands down, you can say not out or shake your head. And then even if they ask, I don't think you're obliged to give a reason. I think not out is the answer.
That's a great email in there, Trent. Love that. Little bit of a question out to the listeners. What is the most ridiculous reason an umpire has not given your what you thought was a plum call out? You can email us in at hello@plowmanscc.com, and we'd love to hear some more correspondence. Unfortunately, that marks the end of the podcast this week. So, Mo, thank you very much. Always good to be on here with you.
Thank you, and it's always a pleasure to come on with you, Hector.
I believe this is going to be our last one of the year as well. So,
see you next year.
See you next year. And Leo, thank you so much. You've been almost the co-host that we didn't know we needed today. So thank you for coming on and providing your valuable insight. Very interesting to hear more about the Pirates. Obviously, huge game coming up on Sunday, which unfortunately you're not able to play because of injury, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's me done for this season in a playing capacity. But the Plowman's Pirates ride the salty seas this Sunday. Against the champions from Clapham, and we're going to show them what's what.
Are you going to be the manager on the sidelines on Sunday?
Yeah, strolling on the orange slices, and helping where possible. But no, it's all about the players on the pitch.
What time is the game starting, Leo?
2:30, Dulwich Sports Ground, Sunday.
Love that.
Come on down.
I will also be playing, which is going to be good. And then we also have a couple of very important games over the weekend coming up. We have the Wands, who are pushing for promotion. And right now, you know, they're looking very good for it. They're playing really well. So that's really exciting to see. And the Twos are still in the hunt for another promotion, but have a bye this week. So if you're not playing on Sunday, come down, come and say hello, and come and support all of the teams playing down at the DSG. So, for the final time this year, thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Mo.
Thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you, Leo.
Thank you indeed.
And thanks for coming. Cheers, guys.
Thanks for coming.
We've got good old Surrey. We're in the fucking lot. From Croydon down to Rainsford. Take all your trophies.
This is Shane Warne. Make sure you plough on.
Hugh Plowman CC, plough on, guys. Thanks too much.
We didn't win the link by accident. We did that by design. It was very much planned.
I just try to get it in the right spot, really, and see what happens.
He said to me, mate, I really think you should put your lid on. Next ball, Bolton have answered. We've been for six. So.
This club is beyond cricket.
Plough's cricket is the greatest club in the world.